Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Human Performance Outliers podcast with Zach Bitter. All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Human Performance Outliers podcast. Today, I have the final episode of a four-part series where I am just walking you through what my typical training cycle looks like from just the inputs I'm targeting from a training standpoint, as well as the nutritional inputs and how they match up with that training cycle. The final part of this is the ultra long run development. The reason why I call it the ultra long run development is I am doing long runs, or at least building up to my long runs, throughout my training cycle. So as soon as I get into kind of the base development phase, I start adding the component of a long run into my training system. But I'm looking at it a bit differently during those early phases as I am during this last part. So the way I look at it is normal long run development is going to be something where I find like I'm going to yield the highest amount of quality, probably around, say, like 2 to 3, maybe a little beyond 3 hours. Once you start getting beyond that, I start kind of shifting that focus to like durations of long runs that are longer than that need to be a little more specific to the pace or the intensity, and if possible, the environment at which I'm going to be racing at. So the race will dictate this. I've been using the 100-mile basically as the example for this series because I'm typically peaking for something of that duration or distance, and that will help kind of keep these things in terms of the context on track for everybody who's paying attention to this. So the reason that that's important here is because as you get up to the distances that are as far as 100 miles, and then if you get further than that within the ultra running world, you just have this scenario where the long run can oftentimes become an intensity that is quite a bit lower in terms of average pace than what a person would typically do if they just went out for a long run. So I think there needs to be like a divide there between what is an ultra specific long run and a typical long run, because a typical long run, you may spend all or most of it running. Whereas an ultra specific long run, you want that to match the intensity that you're going to perform at. So you might have a ton of hiking in that if you're doing like a trail race, or if you're targeting a finishing time that merits that. So I think one thing that a lot of times people will get caught up in is they'll focus heavily on the run part of development, when in reality with ultra marathon, there's a heavy walking and hiking component there. And if you're honest about that and you employ that side of the sport early and often, you're less likely to have to do as much of it in the back half of the race. So for me, it really sometimes just depends on the course I'm doing. For this point, I've, you know, optimized my 100-mile performance to a point where if I'm doing something like 100 mile on the track, I am going to be running the whole time. So anytime I'm not running, I'm probably just using the bathroom. In fact, some of my most efficient 100 milers were as little as 60 to 90 seconds of non-moving time. And the rest of it was like basically running like at or just below or just above 7 minute mile pace. So for an ultra specific long run for a race like that, it's going to have a lot of that. And if I'm doing something a little bit different, like say maybe the Western States 100, or in the past I've done the San Diego 100, you know, those are races where I'm going to do some hiking on the steeper climbs and things like that. So I'm more likely going to be targeting environments that are similar to that during my long run development phase and embedding some of those mechanical movements that I'm going to be using in terrains like that, which are going to just be a little bit different. So the reason I kind of have this phase of the training cycle listed as ultra long run development is it's the point in the training where I do pivot my long run structure from typically peaking at around 3 hours to now it can go sometimes well beyond that. But if it does go well beyond that, it means I need to be much more responsible about mimicking the 100-mile intensity versus going faster than that or pushing harder than that at any time, because the opportunity cost of either losing quality by doing that or stealing from tomorrow by doing too much in one session to the degree where it negatively impacts future training sessions becomes much higher. So for an example of that is in 2019, I was training for the San Diego 100, and I found this spot. Nicole and I were living in Phoenix at the time, about an hour from our house, this spot called Mount Ord. And Mount Ord is this awesome training spot, in my opinion, because you park your car and then you have this 7.5 mile climb up to the top of Mount Ord, which is almost 5,000 feet of climbing. So when I was preparing for the San Diego 100, I would go and I would do that climb and I'd come back down and then I would do it again. So I'd get around 30 miles on that run and it would be almost 10,000 feet of climbing, but it was often beyond 5 hours of running. But it was also some hiking. So I was able to kind of stretch out beyond that normal long run duration and maintain quality because I wasn't pushing as hard as maybe I would for, say, a 2 or 3 hour long run that I'd be doing during the base building phase or the speed work development phase of my training. So that's kind of like the understanding or the idea of how I'm heading into this phase of training, the mentality that I'm looking at. I'm sort of making that little shift. The other shift I'm making here is I'm starting to really, really change the inputs in my training compared to the speed work development phase. So if you listen to the last episode, you'll notice I had the main focus of that is doing things that are like long intervals and short intervals at a moderate to high intensity. Those become kind of like the priority ones, the ones where I'm trying to work everything around optimizing those as the focus points of my training cycle. Whereas for this, I step away from that as being a primary focus. Doesn't necessarily mean I remove all the speed work, but it's a drastic reduction in the volume of which I do it. And it becomes a secondary input in terms of priority to the ultra long run. So this is the part of training where I'm close enough to the race where it becomes time where for me to be my best on race day, I want to start working with the race intensity as much as possible. Or the way to think about it is I want to dedicate as much of my training load as I can tolerate towards things that I'm going to be specifically doing on race day and really working on that stuff. And you know, one of the other reasons why I think going out and doing some longer sessions during this phase of training can be helpful, even if it's like beyond what a typical long run would look like, it also gives you that opportunity to work on things that are going to be a little more specific to a longer duration race. Like how do you actually navigate the ebb and flow of kind of your energy levels for a longer than 2 to 3 hour session? You get this interplay where like you may feel like a little like subpar for a while, but that doesn't mean you're going to feel like that for the rest of the time. You'll move out of that and like maybe feel the best you did for a while. You just get a little bit of an opportunity to map that ebb and flow a little bit. So then on race day, when you're presented with that, you don't overreact to it and make a decision prematurely and things like that. So those are kind of the things I'm thinking about and focusing on, that kind of like physical and mental approach that are going to be just a little more specific to race day. This phase of training also allows me to kind of practice some other things that are specific to race day and sometimes specific to longer endurance races like ultra marathons, which is the fueling and hydration aspect. So this gives me an opportunity to kind of do some dry runs through my fueling strategy, my hydration strategy, check to see if there's anything that's different from prior times that I should be aware of that I don't want to be surprised by on race day. Or if I am going to try to change something, like bring in a different input within those categories, here's an opportunity to practice that. So I'm not going out there at the race that I've been preparing for and trying something for the first time as much as I can help it. So usually during this phase of training, I'm looking at that long run through a couple different categories. Since I do have a lower carbohydrate approach that I do emphasize like a fat adaptation type of a setup, there are long runs where I will just do with pretty much water and electrolytes. And I'm just basically kind of like giving myself a test, like, how fat adapted actually are you? Like, can you go out for, say, a 5 hour session and do that on water and electrolytes and feel pretty even energy wise without, you know, assuming I'm honoring the pace targets and things during that, you know, am I feeling just as strong or stronger at the end as I did in the middle and the beginning and things like that? And once I kind of confirm that, then it's like, all right, well, I'm confident in that. I can trust that. So now it becomes more important for me to spend some time with some of those long runs to just actually practice the fueling strategy that I'm going to do on race day, which for 100 milers, you know, they tend to range a little bit, but historically for 100 mile races, I'm usually hitting somewhere between 30 to maybe 50, at most 60 grams of carbohydrate per hour. When I ran my fastest 100 miler in 2019, I was right around 40 grams per hour. So those are kind of the targets I'm likely sometimes hitting or targeting or getting to at for at least a few of these long runs, just to kind of like remind myself of what I'm going to try to get in during the race itself and give myself that relative experience, or close proximity experience, I should say, with what I'm going to be having for that. Here are some discounts and promos for the HPO sponsors. Delta G Ketones has 20% off with BITTER20 promo code, and they also offer free consultations to help you assess how their product would best fit your lifestyles. Head to DeltaGKetones.com. Element Electrolytes has a free sample pack with purchase and satisfaction guarantee, meaning if you don't like it, they will give you your money back. No questions asked. And you don't even have to return the box. Go to drinklmnt.com/HPO to get that free sample pack and try out all their flavors with your purchase. John G. Apparel has 10% off with promo code BITTER10. Check out their AFO shorts if you're in the market for a new pair of running or gym shorts. That's janji.com, JANJI.com. S Fuels has a 15% site-wide discount. Go to sfuelsgolonger.com. All links, promos, and discounts can be found in the show notes as well as every episode landing page. The way these weeks usually end up breaking out is I end up having pretty much my highest volume training point of the year, where there's weeks where I'm doing over 20 hours worth of running. For those of you that are liking to base your things in distances, you know, it's not uncommon that I'm hitting, say, like 150-mile training week during this phase. And, you know, sometimes that could be like a big chunk of that where, you know, I'm looking at 40% of that being on two runs. If I'm doing back-to-back long runs on, say, a Saturday, Sunday, if I'm getting up to numbers that high. Sometimes it's something where I may place a training race in here. I'm a fan of training races with ultra running if you can respect them for what they are versus putting too much out there. And again, like I've said this a few times in this series, try not to steal from tomorrow. So if you're going to do a training race, make sure you calibrate the intensity properly so you recover quick enough that you don't spend the whole next week or two recovering from that and missing out on way more training than the value of that training race would have provided. But it does give you that opportunity to practice the very specifics of, like, what do I do? What do I eat the day before? What's my protocol for getting to bed at night before? My protocol before the race, navigating aid stations, things like that, working with gear, getting just as specific of an experience as you can to race day. That's the value add of the training race. So, you know, something like that would maybe fit into this framework or this part of the training cycle. I may be more likely to say jump into like an 80K or 100K or 50K or something like that and use that as like a highly structured long run during this phase of training. But generally speaking, you know, my weeks are going to look a little more polarized in the sense that I'm going to have like two or three days that are higher volume relatively to the other ones. And the thing that's a lot polarizing is the intensity. The intensity tends to be very, very heavily favoring that lower intensity. So like easy recovery up to that base intensity is mostly the operating zone I'm working from as the priority focus anyway during this phase of training. Inside of that, my macronutrients tend to shift a little bit lower carbohydrate than they did during the speed work development phase. So I'm sort of moving from this like gradual increase of where I'm going from like almost a strict ketogenic diet at times during my off season to bringing back a little bit more of that carbohydrate and overall energy intake during the base building phase. When I get in a speed work development phase, that's the spot where I'm probably eating the most carbohydrate from a percentage standpoint anyway during my training cycle. And then I get into the long run development where, yeah, my volume's going up, but my intensity is coming down. So in this phase of training, outside of the race day fueling strategy training sessions, my carbohydrates are coming down relative to that speed work development phase. So usually the averages that they'll land in this time of the training cycle are like 65 to 75% fat, 10 to 15% carbohydrate, and 15 to 20% protein. Of the inputs that I've done a lot of in the last 13 years following a low carbohydrate diet, again, said this on the other series, I'll remind you, this isn't all inclusive. This isn't like all I ever eat. I deviate from this. These are just things that have shown up frequently over the years as I've kind of put together the inputs for my low carbohydrate diet. Whether you use these or other ones is like totally up to you. If you even are going to follow an approach like this, these are just basically sharing kind of like what I do for people who are interested in that. Some of it include things like coconut oil, olive oil, canola oil, sunflower oil, butter or ghee, lard or tallow, full fat salad dressings, fatty cuts of beef, pork, and lamb, chicken and turkey, preferably with the skin, fatty fish like salmon, whole eggs, bacon and sausages, organ meats like liver, full fat cheese like cheddar, brie, mozzarella, heavy cream, sour cream, full fat yogurt, kefir, milk, cream cheese, coconut milk, like you use for like a curry, the unsweetened canned stuff, almonds, macadamia nuts, pecans, walnuts, chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds, pumpkin seeds, leafy greens like spinach, kale, Swiss chard, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, zucchini, cucumbers, asparagus, avocado, eggplant, bell peppers, berries like strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, potatoes of all kinds, beets, honey, apples, melons of all kinds, sourdough bread, and coffee. So in terms of kind of like what a day during this training cycle would look like, or this part of the training cycle would look like, I pulled a sample day out that does highlight one of the longer runs, just because I assume that's probably what people would be more interested in for this part as an example. And the one I pulled out happened to be a training day where I had a 4-hour long run and then a mobility routine. So the 4-hour long run was, like I said, done at a intensity that was below my aerobic threshold and kind of in that lower end of zone 2 for this particular one. I was preparing for Javelina 100 for this one. So it sort of mapped the terrain similar to what you're going to get on that course, where there's like some climbing and descending, but as far as trail races go, very runnable. I had a route that I was using for this that kind of mimicked that profile pretty closely. And I did that for 4 hours. I also did my mobility routine during this particular day, which for those of you who want to get a little more information on that, I unpack this in a little more detail on the off-season one. You can also go and look at my Instagram page. I have it pinned under my reels right now for my mobility routine, but it had ankle rotation, dorsal and plantar flexion. For my hip, I had a movement where I put my right leg on my left thigh and raise that up for 60 seconds. It's a static movement. I do that with both legs. Static ankle dorsiflexion, where I've got the back of my legs propped up on a bench and I have like a yoga block in between my feet and I'm just dorsiflexing back towards me and holding that statically for about 10 minutes. Then I'll do some hip work on a bench. I'll sit on a bench upright with the yoga block between my knees and I'll just be pressing inward and then releasing and doing that for a few minutes. And I'll also do some shoulder rotations with my arms wingspan out forward and backward for a few minutes. And then finally, I'll also get back on my back, my legs at like a 90 degree angle up against the wall. And I'll be using the outside of my feet as kind of a hinge as I open and close my hips. And I'll do that for about 3 minutes. Again, if you want the visual for that, head over to @ZachBitter on my Instagram. It's pinned to my Reels profile. For that particular day, again, you know, it's a pretty big energy output day with a 4-hour run. There's really no way around that. So the nutrition took a little bit of a jump up in energy output, or input, I should say. And what was included in this particular day is I had a half packet of Element chocolate, a full packet of Element watermelon, an S-Fuels Life Bar, 2 bottles of Delta G Ketones Tactical, which is an exogenous ketone, coconut milk unsweetened, 1.75 cups of it, salmon, 8 ounces, olive oil, 10 teaspoons, sharp cheddar cheese, 4 ounces, walnuts, 4 ounces, strawberries, 2 cups, 2 gala apples, they were large, yogurt, plain whole milk, 2 cups, spinach, 8 ounces, 2 large eggs. Totals came out to 4,238 calories, 152.4 grams of protein, which came out to 16%, 129.7 grams of carbs, which came out to 16%, 301.7 grams of fat, which came out to 68%, and then 64 grams of exogenous ketones. And one thing I'll add about this is like exogenous ketones, I had 64 grams of those, and that's technically a 4th macronutrient. So it kind of skews the percentages a little bit if you add that in. So for those of you who are curious about that, the percentages, if I just add that as kind of like a 4th input of the 3, it actually comes out to 14.5% protein, 13% carbs, 65% fat, and 7.5% exogenous ketones. So that was the sample training day, the sample nutrition, and the kind of the description of how I like to structure the ultra long run development phase of my training cycle. So for those of you who are interested in more information about this stuff, I do have a series of episodes that I released last year that go all the different training stuff from the long run development, short intervals, long intervals, base running, easy recovery stuff, some like aid station navigation type of stuff. I'll have those linked in the show notes for anybody who is interested in checking out those. If you want to kind of use my scaffolding of what I do and get it a little more specific to your context versus trying to do something you shouldn't do, which is just parrot someone else's work, I wanted to do this series of episodes just to let other listeners into kind of a little bit of an insight of the scaffolding of how my typical training cycle looks and the new nutritional inputs that I have for it. So that ends the 4-episode series of my off season base work development, speed work development, and ultra marathon long run specific development training and nutrition. As a way to thank the listeners for helping me grow this podcast over the years, I'm going to continue a raffle option for all of you to have a chance to win a free consultation with me. So it's a 30-minute consultation that I will raffle off once per month. All you have to do to enter is share the episodes that you enjoy on whatever platform you find most interesting. The only thing I ask you to do is, if it's a social media channel, make sure you tag me so I see it and can save that and enter you in the raffle. Or if it's somewhere else that you can't tag me at, take a screenshot and send that to me at hpopodcast@gmail.com. You can also enter the raffle by writing a show review on your favorite podcast listening platform. So if you do that, take the screenshot, send it to hpopodcast@gmail.com, and I will enter you in that monthly raffle. Also, I'm excited to announce that I launched a new group coaching option. So to go along with my personalized one-on-one coaching options and my pre-made plans that I have on my website at zachbitter.com, this year I'm starting a group of online endurance runners who want to work with me in a slightly different model. So this model is set up so that whether you're a beginner or advanced, you can join. Whether you're training for something like a 5K or something as far as a 200 plus miler, you are welcome, and this setup will help you reach your goals. The way I have it set up is, if you subscribe, you will have access to my full catalog of training plans, which range from beginner 5K all the way up to advanced 200 plus miles. Along with that plan that you're going to use, you will have access to a weekly group meeting where you can ask questions about training. You can ask about adjustments to the plan to make it more personalized to you. You can engage with the other group members if you want. We'll get you all set up and ready to really personalize that plan to make sure that you're heading in the right direction for your event. Also, you will have access to office hours, where if you have something you want to ask and you want to just hop in and ask a question, you'll be given access to that as well. I will be bringing in guest speakers who have a deep understanding of specific topics and things that we'll use to better your training and recovery process throughout the course of the year, as well as a private forum for all the members to engage with one another, share stories, share training tips, and just house a lot of the information that we'll go over on the daily and weekly basis as you're pursuing your race goals. So if you're interested in checking that out, just head to my website at zachbitter.com, go to the coaching tab. From there, you'll be directed to the team coaching option, and you can sign up for that and get onboarded to join the group. If you're interested in keeping up with what I'm up to, please give me a follow on some of my socials. Follow me on Instagram at Zach Bitter, on X, Twitter at Z Bitter, and check out the brand new HPO podcast handles, which are just at HPO podcast on Instagram and X/Twitter. Of course, all this stuff can be found quite easily on my website, which is the main landing page for everything I do at zachbitter.com. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Human Performance Outliers podcast with Zach Bitter.